Our scripture today comes from Ephesians, again, chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send those to us. We want to pray for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. So today we're continuing our Armor of God series with the recognition that we are in a spiritual battle, and it's challenging. Jesus reminded us that though we live in the world, we are not to be of the world. He also reminds us in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We have a spiritual enemy. And as we go about our daily lives, trying to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, trying to live the life of love, grace, and compassion that He calls us to live, it is not always easy. There are everyday circumstances and hardships and challenges that we deal with at work or school, in our families, among our friends. And the Apostle Paul tells us of another struggle we have against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He tells us we need the full armor of God. Ephesians 6:13 says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. We need God's help to stand our ground. Now, a long time ago when I was a kid, I had a streak of orneriness. Can you imagine that about me? I always found a way to get into trouble. But I was also very interested in pleasing my mother. She loved me, and in spite of my orneriness, she always encouraged me. I imagined myself telling her, "Okay, Mom, I will stop picking on my younger brothers. I will clean up my room. I will take out the trash. I will no longer throw food in the school cafeteria. I threw those little Brussels sprouts. I will try to be nice to the girls." I remember making these and other mental decisions regularly to try and please my mom. "I am going to do it, Mom." My struggle always came with the follow-through. I wanted to do these right things, but inevitably I found myself in trouble again for not doing them. What is it about this inner battle that we have? We often desire one thing, but end up doing another. Another aspect of our battle in life is living the right way. Have you ever been there? Truth is, we all have a messed it up card or I didn't do what I wanted to do card. In talking about putting on the full armor of God so we can take our stand against the devil's schemes, another part of it deals with righteousness, living the right way, post-righteousness. The truth is, we need righteousness. In Ephesians 6:14, Paul says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place." Last week we talked about the belt of truth. In order to stand firm, we need the truth from Scripture about God, about ourselves, and about life. This week, Paul uses the image of the breastplate of righteousness to describe another aspect of the full armor of God. So why does he talk about the breastplate of righteousness? Well, because a Roman soldier wore a breastplate of armor across his chest to protect the heart, the lungs, and the other vital organs. The breastplate protected the upper body from anything coming against it from the enemy. Now, in our everyday lives, we Christians need a spiritual breastplate of righteousness, Paul calls it, to protect our spiritual heart and give us confidence in the middle of battle. Proverbs 12:28 says, "In the way of righteousness there is life. Along that path is immortality." To live right or righteously is to live morally upright lives without guilt or shame. We need righteousness. We want it, for we too want to please God, our Creator. We want God's blessing. We want God's favor. We desire to line up with our Creator's will. But we don't know how to get there. So often we fall short of living the upright life we desire. But here's the good news. God has provided a way. God has provided a way. The first thing God did was provide us a standard. God provided a standard, the law, to show us right and wrong. Post the law in the chat. God is righteous. God is holy. He sent us his standard, the law, to show us how to live right. Remember in the Old Testament, Moses went up on the mountain and he came back with 10 commandments, 10 straightforward commands, 4 concerning how we relate to God and 6 concerning how we relate to each other. The purpose of God's law is to show us right and wrong, to help us know how to relate well with God and one another. We need that. In the Old Testament, Psalm 5:8 says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness." Psalm 23:3 says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." God sent us the law to show us how to live, how to relate to him, and how to relate to one another. The New Testament was a continuation of this understanding. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in what? Righteousness." He writes in 1 Timothy 1:8 and 9, "We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy, the irreligious." We need righteousness. God has given us a standard, his law. But sometimes we struggle. The teacher asked Timmy, "Timmy, if both of your parents were born in 1965, how old would they say they are now?" "Well, that depends," Timmy answered. "It depends." "Depends on what?" the teacher asked. "It depends on if you ask my father or my mother." Our problem is we break the law. We can't live up to God's standard. That's why I struggled as a kid. Some of us come closer to keeping the law than others. Some really work to follow God's law. The whole Old Testament was an admonition to follow God's law, and that if you did, you would experience God's blessing, God's favor. In the time of the New Testament, the Pharisees were the group organized to help you do it, to try and keep the whole law. They were focused on it. The problem is, no one is perfect. We all fall short of obeying God's laws. 1 John 3:4 says, "Everyone who sins breaks the law." James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point of it is guilty of breaking it all." one night during a revival, an evangelist was speaking on this topic. He asked, has anyone ever known anyone who's come close to the perfection of our Lord? Nobody raised a hand. He asked the question again. Anybody? Has anybody ever known that kind of perfection? Finally, a guy in the back raised his hand. So, of course, he was asked to stand up. Tell us, said the evangelist, who do you know who was so close to perfection? And the man said, apparently, my wife's deceased first husband. We all fall short of perfection. So what is God's solution? God's solution is righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. Post faith in the chat. The good news of the gospel is that God has provided another way for us to be declared righteous, accepted, forgiven. In Romans 3, 21 and 22, Paul writes, but now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is a new righteousness from God apart from the law that has been made known to us, to which the law and the prophets testify. So the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6 wrote, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our what? Our righteousness. The leaders of the early church boldly declared, Jesus is that righteous king who was to come. And because he has come, through Jesus, we have freedom from guilt and peace with God. And not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. The key is putting our faith in him. Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift! Freedom from the guilt of sin and peace with God. And also the promise of the Holy Spirit to help us break the grip of sin's hold on us. One of the things that I enjoy about ministries like Celebrate Recovery are the testimonies of changed lives. I remember a vivid testimony one night here at Christ Church of a husband and wife who shared the story of his deliverance from the grip of alcohol and her being set free from the codependency that went along with it, and how God is now using them to help others in their church in Claremore. And you know what? There are countless millions of stories like that throughout the Christian church. People who have found freedom from guilt, peace with God, and deliverance from addiction. So what is another result of this new righteousness through faith in Christ? Another result is humility and grace towards all people. This righteousness from God that comes apart from works of the law through faith in Jesus means all persons. All persons are just one step away from salvation. The worst sinner and the best saint are equally just one step away from salvation. So there's no room for pride or haughtiness or judgment of others that we might be tempted to have if our righteousness was something we earned. But because it comes by faith and not by works, we cannot boast. Instead, we should have humility and grace towards everyone. Jesus, remember, told a parable to illustrate this point. In Luke 18:9, we read, to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. It's the story about the Pharisee and the tax collector. In reality, they were both just one step away from salvation. putting their faith in Jesus. But only one of them realized it. Luke 18:10 reads, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get.' But," as Jesus told the story, "the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he just beat his breast and he said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' Jesus said, 'I tell you the truth, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." When we understand this gift of righteousness that God gives us through faith in Jesus, this righteousness that frees us from our guilt and brings us peace with God, when we experience that, we can no longer look at other people in judgment. Instead, we see them with grace and compassion. And while we reach out to them, we say to ourselves, "But for the grace of God, there go I." The worst sinner and the best saint are equally just one step away from salvation. Jesus, remember, liked hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners of his day because they knew they needed God's mercy. The Pharisees didn't think they did. They were walking in their own righteousness. And you know, if we're not careful, we can think and act like the Pharisees did. Don't do it. Well, when we experience this new righteousness that's been revealed, not by our own self-righteous efforts, but because of God's gift of love and grace in Jesus Christ, what happens to us? Our hearts are changed. Our spiritual hearts become strengthened with power from on high. In Jesus, we receive a heart transplant to stand up against the enemy and his schemes. We can stand up for Christ in the midst of our circumstances. Because of Christ's righteousness within us, our hearts are protected from guilt and shame. Our hearts are shielded from the accusations of the enemy. When he says, "You are a no good sinner," in peace and confidence, we can say, "I am a sinner, yes, but I'm being saved through my faith in Jesus." In Isaiah 32:17, the prophet said, "The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever." You can have that peace and quiet confidence forever through faith in Jesus. I pray that you will put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of Christ's righteousness every day as you stand your ground and fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, loving Lord, we need righteousness. There's something deep within us that seeks it and desires it, but we don't know how to get there. You've given us your law, and it shows us your standards of right and wrong. But try as we might, we still break it. We still fall short. But thanks be to God, now a righteousness apart from the law has been made known. A righteousness from you, Lord, that comes through faith in your Son, Jesus. We can be free from our guilt and experience peace with you. What a gift, O Lord. What a blessing. And so with humility and grace, we treat all people with compassion and love. And we develop hearts that stand up in peace and confidence day by day. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send those to us. We want to be able to pray for you. And thank you, yes, for your generosity. your ongoing gifts are continuing to help us reach out to new people for Jesus and for His kingdom. You can go online using the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, in our battle against the devil's schemes, the breastplate of righteousness through faith in Jesus is another piece of our spiritual armor. For now, have you placed your faith in Jesus? If so, hallelujah. If not, do it now. He is your source of righteousness and peace.
You know, I have a friend who can only do things spontaneously. Okay, yeah. We call him Oliver Sudden. That's terrible.
Are you mission-minded? Lay Leadership is the committee tasked with identifying volunteers for committees and boards for next year. If there is a board or a committee you might be interested in, contact me, Lisa Bennett, at the church office.
Today, the All Ears Music Appreciation Society will be featuring a lighthearted Mozart opera. The Austrian Emperor Joseph II, who commissioned the opera, famously remarked that it has too many notes. Come and judge for yourself.
The Hurting Parents Support Group will be meeting today, September 17th at 5 p.m. Parenting is never easy. This monthly group provides resources for parents of adult children. Contact Kathy Feist or Jill Prey for more information on how to participate.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.